Lord, thank you that you are not a big, huge, floating doctrine. We know you were a floating scroll in many of the prophets, but now you're the Lamb on the throne. You're not a big old scroll. You're full of blood in every word. It's your nature. We're in love with you, Lord, for who you are. And we love being in you. It's the best place we could be. And Lord, we just ask that as we just spend a little time snuggling in to who you are, that the spirit of the reality of being in you would be a little more real in our lives, a little less doctrinal, a little less religious, a little more you. We love you, Lord. We come to the table to feast on the Lamb. We do not come to go to a school or do religious duty. We are hungry for Jesus. So Holy Spirit, feed these hungry hearts, Jesus, the way only you can. And for his sake we pray it. Amen. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to 27, Psalm 27. And we're going to look at Psalm 27 and see what the Lord has to say. I'm just as interested as you are tonight. Didn't have a lot of time to prepare, but I do feel that there are times when the preparation should be a lifetime of being with Jesus, not an afternoon of doing Google searches. How's that? I searched Google in my Bible app and the 25 different references, and now I have a great class. And I don't, none of it have I experienced, no. But sometimes it's great to open up your mouth and let the living waters flow. The ones that have been forged in the furnace of affliction, where you actually found what in Christ really means. And I think that's one of the reasons we're down here on planet Earth, is because God wants us to experientially know him. Ephesians 3, I think it's 19:3, 18:19-ish, it says that we might, and if you look at the Greek, experientially know the love of God, that we might be what? Filled with all his fullness, the height, the depth, the width, the length, the breadth. And it says after that, that you might know, you know, the love of God experientially. So life can be an adventure of knowing Jesus, a real one, a real one. If our hearts are set on him and not on ministry and ourselves in the equation, in that way where it's about us and the earth, but, you know, it can be an adventure. I was thinking about the book of Ecclesiastes as compared to the the book of Song of Songs. And, you know, Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he was an incredible minister. He was the king of Jerusalem. Who would like a really, you know, important ministry? So king of Jerusalem, you know, that's a pretty big one. What did you do? Well, I was the king of Jerusalem. Yikes, right? Where do you go from there? King of Jerusalem. And all the things that he had going and access to and part of. And yet, if you read Ecclesiastes, the whole spirit of that book is depressing. It's like, oh, dude, under the S-O-N, S-U-N, S-O-N, boring, depressing, religious. You know, you go, I hate religion. Hate it, hate it, I hate it. But I'm going to live in the earth. Well, buddy, you're going to have a lot of religions. It's going to be like quail coming out your nose because you're in its homeland. You're in the homeland of religion. This is where religion breeds its little babies, its little religion babies. Yeah. It does. If you make union, this is what happens when I don't prepare for class. If you make union with the earth as your place, then you're going to have little religion babies, otherwise known as hell babies, running around their little diapers. Ishmael, where are you going, buddy? Straight to the hog pen. You know, because you're breeding that. You're living there. You're dwelling. So Jesus said, hey. He didn't say, hey, but he said, if, verily, verily, if you abide in me, which is not in the earth, side note. But in me, you're going to bear much fruit. And it ain't going to be little hell babies. Little flesh babies running around religiously living lives, right? It's going to be lamb. Lamb, little lamb fruit. God's going to love it. He's going to say, oh, it's an increase of my firstborn son. Yay, I love it, I love it, I love it. Everyone goes, life, 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 I'm getting life. Because you're dwelling in union with him who is above the earth. You've set your affections there. Because you're dead. And now he's your life. And that's an incredible thing when it starts hitting planet earth with fruit. So we can hate the horrible life of earth. I hate earth. It's depressing. I hate just doing ministry. It's so vain, and it's just a vexation of spirit. Vanity. My sweat on my brow, and I'm getting burned out, and I just, I don't know. Well, what's the answer? I think the answer is a better doctrine. A doctrine about life. I want it to be about the Lamb and life. Abundant life. So I'm going to change all my doctrines and belief systems to be about the slain Lamb as a groom who's having a wedding feast and the crazy, awesome, wow, just incredible reality of that. I'm going to believe that, but I'm going to stay down here because I have a life down here. Are you serious? Are you asking me to deny my wonderful life? I have needs. I have. Do you not know that I have needs that require me to stay here and cry out for help? Do you not know? While at the same time, I'm cashing in my doctrines about religion and I'm buying the doctrine of the Lamb and the wild, incredible adventure of being in oneness. But I'm going to continue to maintain my selfish existence down here. So what kind of babies are coming? What kind of baby's going to come? The little religious hell babies. Love that word. I heard that in a teaching once and it never left me. I did. Little religious, what do they look like? You just go, man, I just feel an increase of anxiety and depression, and just I'm burned out like nothing. It's one of those little religious hell babies running around the temple. You're like slapping them down. Stop it right now. There's a feast going on. He's all about life. And they just look at you like, you know, they just throw up their lunch and, you know, run around the house and just break everything. All the holy things in the temple are just like, wah. You know, because they have no heart. They have no heart. You're like, what? I love the Lord with what part of you? With my believing. But where I live is not in that place that is him. It's in that place that is me in this earth. And I am highly aware of the times and the seasons and the needs of my desperately important life. But I will toe the party line. Isn't it sad? This was an unplanned moment. Isn't it sad? And we wonder, why am I stuck in Ecclesiastes? You know, why? Well, let's just say this. In Christ has not become a real place for you yet. It's a great doctrine. But in Christ is meant to be a place you live. Not a doctrine you believe while you're living in the earth. Now, you take this all the way to the book of Revelation, and you've got, Holy Spirit, stop me at Ezekiel. Yes, Holy Spirit. So there's a scripture, I don't know where you guys can, you're scripture searchers, you can find it, in Ezekiel where it says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And then in another place in Ezekiel, it says, earth, 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 woe unto you. He says it three, earth, earth, earth. And you can feel the Lord saying, oh, you live so far away from me. You're in your place and I'm in mine. You're in your realm and I'm in mine. You're in your world and I'm in mine, and the two shall never meet. I cry unto you every morning. you know, rising early. I cry to you. Jeremiah like 48 times says this. But you don't hear because you can't hear because you're down there and I'm up here. It doesn't resonate. For example, I went to Russia when I was 18. It was the furthest reaches of another culture that I ever experienced, I think. It's been a lot of traveling, but that was a big one. And I remember as soon as we crossed the border from Finland into Russia, I could feel the difference. I could feel the oppression. We drove over the border, and the first several couple hours in the bus, we were driving past communes. Just communes in the fields. And I remember going, wow, even in Finland, I could feel when we crossed the border from Finland into Russia. And looking into those communes, I could feel this is a different place. I knew it when I was in passport control and I tried to smile at the Russian guard. And I was like, oh, this is not the same feel. I remember when we were standing in the line to get, people were standing in the line to get bread and vodka for 2 hours and just looking at that. You know, it was different. Everything they got was on the black market. They thought different. They lived different. Their whole way was different. They were different. So someone can say to me, if I'd never been to Russia and I'm just living in Texas, this is what it's like in Russia. Oh, really? What are they? Oh, yeah. How does it? Oh, it's like this. And I can read all the books about Russia, get immersed in the, what is it, the Brothers Karamazov, you know, those great novels by the Russian authors and Dostoevsky, I can't say his name, but you know, the great, and read them and immerse myself and feel. But I won't know it till I've been there. Russia won't make sense to me, really make sense to me, till I'm there and have a relationship with some Russians. Get in their head, get to know them. Experience it. What do you feel? You know, experience it. Well, in Christ is a place. It has a culture. In Jesus is a whole creation, a universe, a realm. We cannot understand this unless we move in there. We live there. We learn the language. We breathe the air. We can't. It's just a picture in a book. Look at Red Square. Wow, that's where Lenin's grave is. Wow. Look at, there's where the KGB meet, you know, this is, wow, all these buildings, you know. But I went into one of them and watched a propaganda film for 2 hours. You know, I experienced the feel of that. Now when someone says Russia to me, I know there's a taste in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Very small one. But if I'd stayed there for 30 years, I'd have a very big one. And whenever someone said Russia to me, I'd start speaking Russian and just having, oh, you know, you're like, whoa, that woman is Russia. Well, that's how in Christ should be. In Christ is a dwelling place. It's a place we live. And the more time we spend there, the more that culture gets in us, the more we understand Him, the place that is a person. And it begins to fill us with its smell, its language, its ways. Because we live there. We sleep there. We abide in Christ. And that is an armor that nothing else can give you. You know, you can have the armor of, I've read every book on in Christ, every book on Russia. I have da-da-da-da-da. And so when the enemy comes, I'm going to be like swinging my sword. Jing, 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 jing. You know, saying all the right things. And all my, yet, da, you know, dostrovia, whatever. You know, I don't know. You're like, what are you saying? Yeah, I don't, you know, I have my three words and I've got facts. And I'm swinging them with emotion, you know. But it's different when out of you just pops this river of life. Because you're dwelling there. You're full. I mean, the enemy's going to go, I'm not dealing with an imitation. That's him. This person is full of the matter of the person. Well, as we abide in him, he abides in us because it's like jumping in the water. You get immersed. It's a place. He's a person. His sap fills your branch. His death becomes your death. His burial becomes your burial. His ways become your ways. His fragrance becomes your fragrance. It's more. You know, and we can measure the level of every... I know it's in the scripture somewhere, Holy Spirit, I can't maybe hear you clear enough now. But there's measures of it where we can get a sense down here that this is the level of the reality of in Christ. And we measure ourselves by ourselves and by the people we know, and what we perceive to be in just the natural senses, or even maybe by some form of discernment, that environment. But that's the down here experience in some vessel. But man, if you go up there and you experience in our life, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, if you get up there and experience the level of that environment with Christ in God, whatever you've seen down here in somebody else ain't nothing compared to what it's like up there. There's an old Keith Green song. When I first got saved, I used to listen to Keith Green nonstop because I felt that if I stopped, I lost the presence of the Lord. Therefore, his albums had a lot of bearing on me in the beginning. And there was one, he goes, come away, come away, come away from, come away with me, my love. Come away from this mess. Come away with me, my love. And I would just walk around the UNT campus, you know, singing this, you know, and feeling him singing it to me. Come away, come away, come away with me, my love. And just groaning, come away from this mess. Come away with, and you could just feel the Lord crying out, come up here. Why are you down there in that mess when I've opened the door of my heart and my being through the cross for you to enter in freely through the veil by grace through my death into my place? I mean, the thief on the cross did it. He did it. He said, "Ah, you're going to be with me in paradise." What did he walk through? The open door of Jesus's pierced heart and left his place, which was a sewer, into the place of the Lamb, which was paradise. In what? Just a turn of the heart. But it wasn't a doctrinal turn. It was love working. Love. Do you know it? He wasn't thinking, I'm getting out of this by agreeing with you in a non-doctrinal way. That would never have worked. He didn't know what he was doing. He was loving. He was thinking of him. You're the true king. Love was working. And it took him in. It took him in to him, not into justification. It is in Christ, yes. I was the worst Bible doctrine teacher ever. Don't listen to those classes if I'm teaching them. I just know. I tried to explain this wasn't going to be a happy journey, but I'm sure that God used it to some level. Yes, it turned it into some other kind of a class, I think, but nonetheless. I started the class by saying I don't want to get caught up in doctrine. And I'm teaching Bible doctrines. So anyway, but I forget what my... Oh, yeah. So, you know, you have justification, sanctification, wisdom, redemption, all this stuff. But of God, he is made unto you. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Of God, Christ is made unto you. Wisdom, sanctification, redemption, justification. He is those things. He doesn't doctrinally do them. They are a person. Get inside of him. Whoop! That thief just got justification. Well, let's see what happened there. Through the death, there's a I'm going to go to theology school for a while and study justification. That could be what my doctorate is on. Write a book later, get it published. But it's going to be on it. How justification works. I'm going to give my heart, my time, my mind to this. Hopefully, I won't go to hell because it's about justification. I certainly shouldn't go to hell. If I give myself to this as my doctorate, maybe the odds are better. Better. It's a really good way of saying better. I could never say it that good again. Better. Better. That was good too. Better. Anyway, I like that. Better. And so he said, okay. And then the thief on the cross looks over and says, dude, all I did was like love on Jesus. He swallowed me up in oneness and I got justified. Guess what? I didn't have to sit there and do a thesis about it. I just looked at him. It took me about 1.0 seconds. How long you been doing that thing? Well, I'm going on 10 years now, and no one wants to publish it, so I'm broke. And no one wants to listen to me because I'm boring. I got no life. In fact, I haven't had a life for 10 years. Because I gave my heart to theology instead of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, man, he goes, that's not fair, man. I worked hard for this. That's a problem. You worked so hard. You worked yourself out of it. Jesus, you know, just fall in love. You know, it's always cool living in an environment of a Bible school because, number one, we all have seasons. We all go through stupid seasons. Everybody. We all have our stupid season of every area. Just. I had the other hand. Including Skype, the universe. We all have our stupid. We're just stupid without Jesus. So I got that from JW. I'm just teasing. But he's right, and I agree with him. In that sense, I'm a stupid because our mind goes everywhere else but him. But we have to do that. It's part of the wonderful journey of experientially knowing his life in a real way. But we do. We seek this, and then we waste time, and we seek that, and we wait. But all of that can be redeemed when we go, look at that. That season in Ecclesiastes was such a big old, well, yes, maybe a waste, but maybe it was a step into Song of Songs because now I know deeply that I don't want to live under the sun while claiming I'm in the sun. Because that is a very, the end of Ecclesiastes is just, it was the end of a movie. You'd just be like, can we just see another movie so I can be happy? I'll even eat another bag of popcorn. Because I need, this was supposed to be a good night. And now I'm just depressed. Because it ends with like, fear God, keep the commandments, and die. Your teeth are falling out. Your legs don't work. You've written a lot of books. There's no end to it. Pretty much, your thesis is whatever. So just keep preaching the word. Keep in the commandments, and then at the end, God's going to weigh out what was good and what was evil. Oh, glory. I feel a wedding feast coming on. It's sad. The environment is heavy with just flesh that kind of missed it. But then you leap into the Song of Songs, and you're like, wait a second. Maybe this was preparation to say, and she's going like, my vineyard is a disaster. I am ready to stop being the ministry marvel of the universe and start just falling in love with Jesus. Hey, I'm running. I am running to you. Take me into your chambers. Do not sit me down and give me the list of ministry. Okay, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to run out there and do it. Leave you in here. You know what I'm saying? Bring me into your chambers. Swallow me up in oneness. Fill me with your spirit. I think you are like ointment poured forth, Lamb of God, and it is drawing my heart straight up into you out of the earth, into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he's like, oh, man. What does he start doing? He sings the Song of Songs. It doesn't sound anything like that. But he sings. He doesn't even go, thank you for coming to me now. Above the earth, coming to the sun and living in union, in oneness, in sun, not under the sun, like Ecclesiastes. And he's so happy that he can't even say it. Thank you. He goes, thank you. He's like, ah! Just sing. Wouldn't it be great to go to a wedding and the groom is so excited? She's walking down the aisle and they're playing that. Dun, 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 dun. Everyone's like, standing up and looking. Oh, da, da. He's like, stop that music. Oh, no. And he just starts, he's singing. She's coming. She's approaching. She's one. And he's so full because it's like finally happening. She's been in the field for so long. He's been lonely for so long. And finally, she's catching on, and he starts to sing. We're just like, I'm just so depressed. Everything's just so, I gotta, take so long, and it's so. Man, you're still in Ecclesiastes. Because once you step into just your little toe starts touching the water of the Song of Songs, all of a sudden music starts happening. Like, songs start exploding. All of a sudden you're like, oh, what is this place? This is what being in Christ feels like. What? Whoa, this is amazing. I didn't even know it could be like this. Well, that's because, you were living so far away. But if you came and you entered in and you truly abided in Christ, Watch the waters part. Watch the veil open. Watch heaven just explode. Let God's heart just gather you in. It's all by grace. He paid the price. But there's so many things to keep us from Him. And sometimes it's those things that we have to war against. Our tendency to live down here in the earth while claiming we're in Christ and allowing that to substitute for the real. You know, is it true that when Jesus died and we received Him at new birth that we are now accepted in the Beloved? Absolutely. It is true. It is true, and we just haven't come to the knowledge of it. And nothing that I'm saying right now is negating the finished work of what only God could do through Christ and His death to put us in Christ. None of that is contradicting what we're saying if you hear the spirit of it. It's not a contradiction. You know, we always want Christ in you and in Christ to be two separate universes. And you know, you have to either be here or here. Why can't they be one person? You know, and we're in Him and He's in us, and it's a oneness. It's a real thing. It's a true union. But when we're not truly abiding in that, it doesn't resonate. It doesn't fill. We cannot overcome. There is nothing to war with. But just being there in a real way is a weapon. It's a weapon. It truly is. I mean, for example, have you ever seen someone? I mean, I'm trying to think if I've ever. I feel like I have seen someone this way before. Yes, I had a friend. Someone who is just really in love, annoyingly enough. You know, just annoying you. You're just like, you know, you go away. You're making me feel bad about my life right now. You know, and you see them together, then you're like, stop, just enough. You know, you're depressing the rest of us. Everybody's sad now. Okay, let's just think about Jesus. But here's the deal. You come up to that person, and they're like, you're like, man, it's a bad day today. Look at the weather. It's only going to get worse. Oh, that's fine. No problem. You know your mortgage payment is late and that your credit score is going down and that car you're going to get, the payments are higher. That's okay. I just know. Yeah, and you know, there's a chance you could have cancer when you did the Ancestry.com. It's in your DNA and you should probably get tests. And if I do, at least I'll have a couple years of bliss down here because I'm in love. You're like, you annoy me. How can I depress you? What is it going to take? Come on. Get with it. Snap out of it. Snap out of it. But you know, in Christ is like that. He's meant to be that real where the enemy comes up and says, you are a loser. Confirmed by all of your actions today. You know? And yeah. And so, you know what? Here's the deal. Get depressed. None of it's true. You know, start going back into Ecclesiastes. Lose all your joy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you can't be daunted because you're really in that relationship. It's not a teaching. It's a person that you're in union with, abiding so. And so that's a weapon. That's a weapon. I mean, you can take that person into counseling and say, now we're going to just work on joy. Work on joy. Let's work on joy. Work on joy. Let's do our joy, you know, joy, 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 joy. Happy thoughts, happy thoughts. You know, that's not going to replace being in union with a person. It's just your candles, like you're like, my first love's, it's getting lower and lower. And the candles, it's out now. It's out. You know, it doesn't work. That's why David said, and now we're at Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. I am not seeking joy and justification and even life and freedom from religion and freedom from depression and freedom from all the things in the earth. I am just seeking Jesus, even if it makes my life on earth worse. I just, you know, well, if you marry that guy or that gal, I like the word gal, we don't use it enough anymore, gal. Marry that gal. Your life's going to be hard. She or he is broke. And you know what? there's things about them that are going to be very, when they eat, they chew very loudly. You know, or they're, you know, there's things. They're not as good looking. Your children could be ugly. I don't know. Whatever weird, crazy thing. You know, they don't have this and that. Health insurance. What? If you hook up with them, your life is going to be worse. Now, mom and dad pay for everything. You got a great car. Lottie, Lottie, Lottie. The last name that person has was weird. You're going to have a weird last name. I don't know. All that stuff. And you're like, I don't care. I'm in. Whatever. Just if it's that person, I'll take the whole field. I'll buy the whole field because there's a treasure in that field. And it's a pearl to me. Jesus is like, this is what the kingdom of heaven's like. Oh, it's so deep. It's so deep. The field, the pearl, the treasure. What could it mean? What depths of deep knowledge could we find in this parable of hidden meaning? That you love God more than your life in the earth? Woohoo! I'm in love with Jesus. You figured the deep sayings out. Sometimes love is a parable because we're so caught up with ourselves. In Christ is a doctrine because we want to live down here in our selfish lives. And so we talk about it and we counsel around it and we find ways to get through stuff. But there's one thing. Jesus, the real person, being in love with him, wanting him more than you want you. You know what? You don't have little religion hell babies, lamb babies. You don't have to write a thesis on justification. You got the Book of Life, fill in your heart like a river full of blood and water and essence. You don't have to think about what's going on down here, good or bad. You don't have to eat from that tree, live in that realm. You're with him, man, and it's real. Every little weird thing that happens down there, that's fire falling on the sacrifice. That's more opportunity to manifest his beauty to others and let him rise to the Father. Oh, come on. You're going to make hard things in the earth part of that marriage? That union, that oneness of in Christ, are you seriously that demented? I mean, let's get real. The beast is overcoming the saints. Let's get real. Things are bad, really bad. It's not good. No. Us together in oneness can make this so awesome. We'll walk right into this valley of the shadow of death and release so much more life that it's going to be incredible. I hate you. Get depressed. Quit. Leave. No. If he's there, he's going to make the wilderness blossom. What? The wilderness blossom. Yes, he will make the wilderness blossom. Oh, yeah. In fact, he's going to carry me on his bed of rest, and I will be literally coming up out of the wilderness in the very perfumed incense flowing from his nature that's coming out of me in the trial. Why? Because that's what being in Christ does. Living things. I'd rather stay on my bed, please. I have many deep things to do and study. You go on the hills. Go leap. Go skip about. Do your life things. I'm studying. I've taken great steps in oneness. I've feasted under the apple tree. I've gone into the chamber. I've received the kisses of your mouth. I have left Ecclesiastes. There's so much I've done. I'm full of life. I'm deep, deep. I'm no longer the virgin in Shushan. I think I'm pretty much part of the wife of the Lamb now. So I'm just going to put my feet up for a minute. He's like peeking through the window. Who is back there? Where are you? You know? And then later on, she's like, I'm so clean. All this teaching has washed me so much. I'm just, oh, Lamb, it's a resonating thing in me. I'm just, oh, I'm holy. And he's like weeping at her door, like there's blood and sweat and myrrh just dripping on his hand. He's like, please let me open your heart again to the real in Christ. She's like, am I dull? Do I hear him? Has it all just become earth and me again? That's what we do. Chapter 3 and chapter 5 of Song of Songs, not Ecclesiastes. That's what we do. That's why we have to be vigilant in our hearts to what? Life. What does it say in the Proverbs? Guard your heart, for out from it come the issues of life. Not the issues of doctrine, the issues of life. Listen, God is testing us all the time to see where our heart is. And he uses things. Things that we think are him. Just to see if we really want him. All the time. Why does he do that? Because he's a person who wants to know if we love him. He is. He just is. He's taking our temperature. You know, and how many times do we chase after the reputation? The looking good in eyes of men? The being someone special? And just shut the door on him. And plop down here in the earth with arms full of his things. And he's somewhere else. Somewhere else. You know, and when we see that, we don't get depressed. Even though it's hard because we're down here now, you know, in that realm. Every time that happened, she had to get after it. But he wants her to get after it. He's waiting for, he's drawing her through that withdrawal to get after him. Here's my thing. When I came here, I didn't know what a Bible school was. I thought I had to go to seminary. I was only aware of convents and seminaries for priests and nuns. I was Catholic my whole life. I didn't know what the word Bible school meant, never heard about being filled with the Holy Spirit, never heard the word born again. I fell in love with Jesus. I saw him by the Spirit as a lamb. At the beginning, I fell in love. And I said, that's it. You're the one. You're the one. Happened to start a Bible school when I started coming to New Creation. I said, well, I was going to move into the apartments across the street and work at Sac and Save so I could come to the church whenever they opened the doors. But now I guess I'll go move into this dorm. I didn't come here for Bible school. I didn't come here for ministry. I didn't come here for Ireland. I didn't come here to be someone special, be a great minister or preacher or teacher, hot dog it this and that way. I came for Jesus. I didn't come for this place. I came for Jesus. I didn't come for this doctrine. I came for Jesus. You can burn up the doctrines. You can burn it all up. I want Jesus. And I'll be doggone if I'm not going to get him. And I'll be doggone if I'm going to let anything stand in my way. In my soul or in an environment that's in the earth that isn't the Lamb. I'm going to have to get my rear end up in the real Christ and live there. Or I'm going to get sucked into another culture. I don't want to be important in a culture in the earth. I don't want to be seen in a culture in the earth. I want to appear before God in Christ. I want him to be my appearing. I want him to be my heir. I want him to be who I am in his place, not in this place. And if he appears in me in this place, that's because I've been appearing in him in his. There's no other way around that. This is not in Christ. It's an environment for people to know him, but this is not in Christ. In Christ is in Christ. And if you live there, you bring that environment back down here. But don't start living down here once you do. Because then you're in danger of stagnating. These are the temptations I'm speaking of. These are the temptations, and they're strong. They, as Proverbs say, they glitter in the cup. We're not going to be tempted by a big car or a big house or drugs or the things, you know, that used to tempt us. We're going to be tempted by the things of the Lord. And they're going to try to get our heart for Jesus. In Christ's warfare, fight to stay in him. There are so many things that want to grab our hearts. Let Jesus have our hearts. Jesus alone. Don't care what anyone thinks. Just live for God, live by God, live in union with God. Let the Lamb be your one desire. Let his joy be your strength. Let his eyes be your approval. Don't worry about it. This isn't our place. This isn't our place. Let everyone else be seen down here. Let them wax great down here. Let them find their kingdom down here. But you run into the high tower of the Lamb. And hide yourself there. And don't appear until he appears. And when he appears, let it be him. And not I, but Christ. And when you start living in that, all of a sudden, hidden realms of sweetness start bursting. Who knows them? Nobody's going to know them. it's like real. You're like, everyone else is just kind of doing the motions, and you're like, I'm in paradise right now. Why? Because I'm loving Him above all these things, and I'm learning the Lamb in union ways, and I'm experiencing God beyond doctrine. Man, those were three of the most boring years of my life. Could you believe those rules and all that teaching? Who can figure it out? You're like, dude, I don't know where you were, but that was some of the most amazing time with the Lord I've ever experienced. And Christ makes that difference. I don't know what you were getting. What was going on? What was going on was God. But you were trying to get it while being somebody down here. And it don't work that way. You just get crumbs from the table. When you're up there, you get the feast. Come up here. There is a wedding feast. It says, I need a feast. I need more than what I've got. You're going to have to get out of the earth and in Christ. Because it's all happening up there. Yeah, well, I'm trying. You know, well, don't try. Give love a chance. Start loving. Start self-forgetting. Start taking something in your life that makes you want to appear in the earth and burn it up on the altar and be with Him instead. Start somewhere. Start making it real to your soul, to your being, somewhere where it's going to hit. Do you know what I'm saying? Somewhere it's going to hit. And just do it. Just clamp down and say, right now in Christ is my place, not down here. So I'm going to take this situation, this thought, this whatever it is that draws me into the earth, and I'm going to abide in Him instead. I'm just going to do it. You'll always have to die. There's always going to be a death. Because guess what? The person who was crucified loves living in the earth. It's like, I love it down here. That which is flesh loves its little realm. It's perfect for it. But we are crucified, and this isn't our realm. But it doesn't work unless the cross is real. I believe in the cross. Well, that's great. How about believing in it when your heart and soul want to appear in the earth? Try an amen then. You know, I mean, I'm serious. That's how the Lord's dealing with me. Like, well, you know what? I'd like to hear that just at the moment when you want to throw yourself forward. And instead you run into the rock that is higher than you. And are made glad through oneness instead of something down there being your portion. Something down there being your portion. Let's go to Psalm 16. I love these Psalms. 16 and 17. I love these Psalms. They are beautiful, wonderful. I haven't read them in a while, so let's just read them. I think it's 17 that's got. Let's just read 17. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned. Is that right, Lindsay? Feigned lips? Or feigned. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Whoa, listen to that. Let thy sentence, my sentence, come forth from thy presence. Let my eyes behold the things that are equal. You have proved my heart. You have visited me in the night. You've tested me. You'll find nothing. I purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths. You hear someone really abiding? That my footsteps slip not back down to the earth. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me. Hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou who savest by thy right hand those who put their trust where? In thee. From those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. That's in Christ language. From the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. Look at, they're doing in Christ warfare. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth like a lion that is greedy of his prey and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men who are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life. And whose belly thou fillest with thy hidden treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. But as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awaken in thy image. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Listen to chapter 6, Psalm 16, verse 5, 6, and 7. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in night seasons. I mean, this is a person who said, Lord, you are my portion. You are my portion in the land of the living in Christ. My heart has chosen you as the place that I dwell. And it goes on, I think, 78, 79. You know, let's look at it. It's really good. Let's go to 78. See if we're getting close. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Where are you? It's the guy who's jealous of people who have their... Maybe it's 73. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, so 73, Psalm 73. And we'll start with verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastised every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I mean, this is definitely someone who God is dealing with to bring forth the Son. And he's scourging them and he's dealing, you know, the cross is coming in real time. And it's like verse 16, you're like, man, I just can't figure out why you're always on me, God. You know, why are you always dealing with me when everyone else is like having this great life? And verse 17, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely thou didst cast them in slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. How they are brought into desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus was my soul grieved, and I was pricked in my heart. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. But nevertheless, I am continually with thee. You have held me by your right hand. You shall guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Listen to that. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who play the harlot, departing from you. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in him, and I will declare his work. How beautiful is that? How beautiful would it have been when Asaph sang that into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God? Can you imagine the words just pouring over his heart like oil? I have none but thee in the earth, Lord, or even in the heavens. Who should I desire but thee? You are my portion. You are. You are. He's singing it over him. David said, sing it over him night and day. Let him know, let him know, let him know, let him know. Minister to the Lord. Let in Christ be more than a doctrine. Let it be a ministry. Let it be a relationship. Let it be a union. Let it be a place of life. Let it fill you even as he fills you. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the wonder and the awe and the beauty of in Christ, of the door opened into the very being of your Son, so we can enter in and live there, breathe there, move and have our being there, even as we are that to you, Lord Jesus. Father, it changes everything. Where we dwell, if we're truly abiding, it changes everything. This earth is transient. It's its own realm. But that which is in the Son shall abideth forever. It is truth. It is reality. It is substance. It is that which never passes away. Everything down here is props, it's shadows, it's types. It's not real. And yet we give our heart to it. We live down here. We could be dwelling in union with the Son. Wow. Let it be. Lord, I know you have. So let our hearts be awakened afresh and anew and stirred to come. To come up here. To enter in. To abide. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.